Yo. Hey guys, welcome back to another amazing edition of the Best Practices Show. Relationships are crazy important in this profession of dentistry. Today, I bring on three giants, three incredible people in my life and probably in yours in some way, and they discuss the long-term value of great relationships in dentistry. You can't miss this with Dr. Bill Robbins, Dr. Jim Otten, and Dr. Gary DeWood. It's one of a kind. So please listen to this. I hope you guys enjoy it, and we'll see you soon. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show podcast. You know the jam around here. I get the coolest people on the planet. And I bring them onto this podcast to ask them questions, to share their wisdom, so that when you're listening, you can create a better practice and a better life. So I don't care if you're driving, if you're going for a walk, if you're just cleaning the garage, I'm going to introduce you today to three of my favorite people ever. And you're going to see why long-term relationships are so important and the value of long-term relationships in this great profession called dentistry. So on the podcast today, I got Dr. Bill Robbins, Dr. Jim Otten, and the two amigos have just brought in a third amigo, Dr. Gary DeWood. And worlds are colliding here. These are three of my favorite people of all time. I'm going to ask you, we're going to start here. Jim,
hey,
what's going on? How did you do this? What is happening? What are you guys doing? Tell us what you're up to.
Well, you know, the power of long-term relationships is really relative to you being long-term. So we've had a few miles on us, and we've had some really interesting journeys over those miles. And gosh, you know, you can't, when you look back on these things, you can't imagine how fortunate you've been to come into the company of people like you, Kirk, and Bill, and Gary, and others that have shaped my life in ways that I never could have imagined, really. So taking it back to Global Diagnosis, Bill and I met through the American Academy of Restorative Dentistry. And as a matter of fact, I would never have become a member of the American Academy of Restorative Dentistry if it wasn't for Bill Robbins, who took an interest in me, just like most great teachers do, and said, hey, you ought to be involved in this group and make an effort to be present. And so just that interest in me, and we started to find out that we had commonality in terms of where we were from and where I went to high school and where his father practiced and his cousin, who was a good friend of mine growing up, we formed a great bond. And so from that, you know, we stayed in touch, and we peripherally started talking about Global Diagnosis education. And I said to Bill, I said, you've written this beautiful protocol. We need to get this out in the ethos somehow. And this was prior, it was about 2018. We were having a few margaritas in San Antonio. Wonderful trip down there. Had toured through a lot of the missions and that. And we're having a great time. And so we started thinking about it. And I think Bill's wife, Brenda, said, you know, maybe you guys ought to do something. And so what we came to learn is that there's a lot of folks that are on a continual journey of learning. And they're passionate professionals, and their skills are often underutilized. And they want to deliver more ideal care with better experiences and get exceptional results. And they needed guides to do that. And so during COVID, you know, you, Kirk, stimulated the birth of this education process. And it's been extraordinary. And Gary and I go back to the Panky Institute in the 90s. I first met Cheryl, his wife, when we taught together at a C2, I think. And we had a wonderful experience and became, you know, best friends. And so then got to meet Gary. Then Gary and I were all integrated into the hierarchy of Panky at one time and highly involved. And so that relationship matured over the years as well. And now we've been able to kind of coalesce together. It's come full circle now where we can work together with Gary and Bill and I and take Global Diagnosis forward. Because we've noticed that, you know, if we simplify the complex, provide an ongoing mentorship that we see much higher degrees of success for people who are really dedicated to this profession. And these and it's all about these relationships. That's all that matters in the end, right? And the Harvard study across 7 decades of happiness, that's all that mattered in the end. Well, one of the core things that mattered in the end was the quality of your relationships. So here we are.
Yeah, Bill, fill in the gaps. I love this.
Yeah, so, you know, our marriage, Jim and I's marriage has obviously come clear to me and him both that this is a marriage made in heaven. And we bring similar skill sets in some ways and very different skill sets in other ways. And his judgment is like way better than mine. I'll give you an example. When we created this concept, we're trying to think of a name for it. And so, you know, we're all brainstorming what the name should be. And the name I came up with, if you put Robbins and Otten together, it's rotten. And so I said, I think we ought to call it Rotten Education.
Yeah. And, that
everybody thought it was a very clever idea, and everybody totally deep-sixed it.
Yeah.
And so after,
yeah.
Imagine that.
Say about what I thought it should be called, it ended up with Jim's idea, which is a global diagnosis education. So if the bus had turned left rather than right, we'd be talking today about rotten education. But instead, we're talking about global diagnosis education. So that's my point. He brings the long view to our relationship that I didn't really have.
Well, a novice in marketing would have pointed that out too. You know, like I'm new here, but that might not be the direction we want to go. You know,
I don't know much about branding, but that one really sucks.
You okay. Say it enough, people will believe it.
They will. Now, speaking of being new here, you two have brought in this young soldier here, this young guy. Who's the new kid on the block here?
Spunky kid from Arizona.
First of all, I hardly qualify as young. I think I'm between these two. I am. I'm kind of in the middle of those two. You know, so Jim told you a little bit about how he and I got together. And the truth was, I learned early on that anybody that Cheryl liked was probably somebody I would like. And let's just say that Jim and I have proven that over the years. And he's one of my closest and dearest friends. When there's something I have to think about, he's one of the people I call. And that's been really, really, it's been a... Cheryl makes good choices.
Hey, Gary, somebody told me this. Never question your wife's judgment. She married you. You know what I mean? Like, that's a good rule of thumb, right?
Exactly. I love it. And then Bill and I have known each other for a long time. And Bill, I think it's actually has stretched past 20 years because it was before I was on the resident faculty. At Panky, I was a visiting faculty member. And Bill was in a workshop. He was in one of the courses. And I believe we had C's at that time. I want to say it was a C3, but I'm not positive. But one of the exercises was an exercise using the literature. And Erwin Becker always led that exercise. He was called away. He had to leave for something. I want to say Susie had something that he got called home for. It turned out to be non-serious, but he got called home. And he turned to me and he said, "You do it." So let me tell you, at that point in my career, every time I was ever at the Panky Institute, I mean, imposter syndrome doesn't even begin to explain it.
Right. Fraud.
Because, fraud is what comes to mind. I mean, it was like, good Lord. And I remember when he said it to me, I had this feeling in the pit of my stomach. And Jim, I'm going to guess you experienced the same thing because all of a sudden, the person in the group says, "You know, this is pretty straightforward. I'd be happy to help you with this just because I do this, a lot of this." And I remember thinking, "Oh my God, where did you come from?" And he coached me through the whole thing. And at the end of it, I mean, literally, people were telling me how excellent it was. But it was totally Bill. Bill walked me through the things. And I will tell you this, it's totally stimulated me. I learned to read the literature differently. I actually paid attention to what I was being given an opportunity to experience firsthand. And that's some of the best learning that can ever happen. And I forever to this day credit Bill Robbins with my ability to look at an article and talk about it and to make some judgments about should I read it. And he kind of did what, who was the, and I'm sorry, I'm blanking on this. Who's the ADA person who was doing all the evidence-based stuff and wrote the manual and all that? He was a dean in New York. I'm totally blanking. I hate being 71 years old. I have that little hourglass there, and it is spinning, man. I know I have that file.
It's there.
Yeah.
It's just you got to sort through too much stuff. At any rate, I just am called back to that again and again in my life, that being able to do that was a skill I would never have had it not been for Bill. And I never would have had it had Bill not been who he is and immediately recognized, wow, it looks like he's a little worried about this.
This guy's in trouble.
Because I'm telling you, had he not taken an interest in me at that point in time, I don't know what would happen. So I blame a lot of what happened after that on you, Bill, gratefully. So,
it is interesting about how you think about those people that have impacted you. Mm-hmm. And I think back on the person that invited me to come to the Pankey Institute the first time. I was a full-time academic. I was running an AGD program at the dental school. And I was on the American Board of General Dentistry with a guy named Roy Cowan, who was an old wise dentist from Butler, Alabama. And he was on the executive board of the Pankey. And he was just a wise man. And he was significantly older than I was at that point. And he invited me to come as his guest at the Pankey Institute. And at that point, they didn't really have anything set up for academic guys. And I couldn't afford to pay the tuition to come to the meeting. And that was always a problem. Academic people couldn't come because they couldn't afford to pay it.
Right.
Even though it wasn't a ton of money, we weren't making any money at all. And so Roy invited me to come, and that was my start in coming to the Pankey Institute. And I went through three or four of them. I'm not sure how many. And I saw the value the first time that I went. And so I then continued to come and pay, even though I was an academic guy, because what was being provided there was so much different than what I knew or understood in my academic life. I'd never been in private practice. I had no skills in leadership, number one. I had no skills in practice management, number two. So the only thing I knew about was teeth. And I knew a lot about teeth, but I didn't really know a lot about occlusion. And so when I got there, I was pretty ill-equipped, even though I was the academic guy. I was pretty ill-equipped to be a teacher there. I never did teach there, but I certainly didn't have the skills to teach there because I was pretty narrow. I was deep and narrow in my knowledge about dentistry. And then as I went farther into it, obviously that's where Gary and I met and developed our relationship. Yeah. So I never taught at the Pankey Institute, but I certainly learned a lot there and still credit much of what I know about the management side of things to the Pankey Institute for those years that I was there.
Yeah. Cool. Now, the cool part about this is you guys are three of my heroes. You had all different paths. Like, put a timeline on this, because really, I want people to hear how the three superpowers got together. It wasn't like a linear path. You guys have kind of done, somebody take us through, the history. How did your paths now we know how we intersected, but how did you intersect again? Somebody tell us a story here.
Well, I started to after had taught for many years at the Pankey Institute, focused on private practice here in Lawrence, and had paused teaching for a while, paused lecturing for a while because the practice needed more attention. But Gary was generous enough to offer me the opportunity to teach at Spear Education. And so we kind of got closer together and reconnected through that again. And so that was a meshing point there. Bill and I have always had this connection, through Restorative Academy and personal connection. And so there was so that kind of weaves things together in that regard.
And so Gary, you just had him come out there and hang out with you. You're like, hey, come on in. I'll let you in and
wonderful things about being able to be there at Spear, because I spent 13 years on the visiting faculty at Panky, and then I was a resident faculty from 03 to 08. And that's when I joined Frank in Seattle, and we moved that whole business to Phoenix. Mm-hmm. And one of the fun things in creating that was I got to invite people to come and help us who I got to pick. And that was really, really a fun thing. Although, and I, for some of them, there was some dilemma. For Jim, there wasn't as much because Jim had backed away from teaching, as he said, to go and focus on his practice. And so I think, I hope it was an easy decision. And I was grateful because to me, it was doing me a favor. I mean, let's face it, at neither of those places, the people who come are giving their time. When they're not regulars there all the time, you're giving your time. That's part of the give back, which is awesome. I hope to bring some of that to Spear, and I was able to. And so I got to hang out a whole lot more with Jim. Yeah. Because of that, that was one of the added benefits of being at Spear. Because in 08, I was there until from 08 until 23. And as I said a number of times, I won't go to the dark side here, but let's just say that after 15 years that the company was sold to a venture capital firm, and they decided, why do we need to pay these people that? So I'm the one they picked, and I'm gone. By the way, as somebody at the time said, someday you look back on this and say it was one of the best days of your life. I'm already getting close to that.
Yeah.
Because I'm actually having so much more fun now. And I'm just grateful that these two guys felt sorry for me and said, maybe we should give him something to do. Try to put a smile on his face again.
Yeah. Now, Bill, during this time, where are you on the map during this time when those two were out there?
Well, you know, I obviously would have enjoyed being a part of Spear Institute also, because what they taught, facially generated diagnosis, is what I was interested in. But my path had led me to what Jeff and I call global diagnosis. And, you know, there was really no need for them to have somebody teaching global diagnosis, because they already had a systematic approach of teaching interdisciplinary care and facially generated diagnosis. And so I didn't really fit in at Spear. And so I continued to teach my information primarily in study club settings, primarily CL study club settings. And so that's what I did. That's what I continue to do today. My primary venue for teaching global diagnosis and also the failures part that I talk a lot about now is primarily through CL study clubs and other study club settings. And so I never really had the opportunity to teach with Gary or with Jim until Jim and I started teaching together 4 years ago. So our paths were in some ways very parallel, but my path never really crossed in an educational way with these two guys up until, recently. And it's become, I mean, Jim and I've said this for sure, and this has become the richest teaching experience of my life. And I've been teaching now for more than 40 years in one capacity or another. And this global diagnosis education, I think, has become the richest teaching experience of my career. I've just loved it.
Okay, go back to that. Why? You've done a lot. Why?
Because we have seen the evolution of a handful, and I don't know how many, maybe, Jim, what would you say, 25 people who have been very serious about, from the start of this journey 4 years ago, have been very serious and have come and have been participated and grown. And I'm talking about 25 dentists now that are already good dentists, or not better than good dentists. They've all been to Spear, Coys, Panky, Dawson. I mean, almost all of them have done some other type of education. And they came to us and they were like open books and they were ready to go. And I think Jim would agree that the reason it's the richest teaching experience is because we've seen so much growth in a handful of very serious dentists. And the idea that none of us can change the world. That's not our goal. Our goal is to change individuals and to help individuals grow into what they have the potential to be. So that's the reason it's been so rich for me. And when I ran residency programs, I mean, I would have residents and I would watch them grow, but it would be for a year or no more than two. And then they were gone and they were essentially out of my lives, except when we'd see each other occasionally. Mm-hmm. But with GDE, we see these really committed people twice a month, and we see them at symposium and we see them in Chicago, and we've developed this family. It's much more than just a mentor-student relationship. It's a family relationship. And this group of people had been committed to it. I think it's miraculous what they've grown into. I mean, these people could now run these programs themselves for sure. This handful that I'm talking about. So that's why it's been so rewarding for Jim and I.
Yeah.
Jim, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's one thing to stand in front of a room and talk or to do a lecture or stand in front of a large audience. And, you know, you hope that you trigger some response or at least create some curiosity when you do that. But it's another thing, like Bill said, to have an ongoing relationship and mentorship with these folks that really sees them develop into not only great dentists, but some of them now emerging as great teachers as well. And that's probably the part we didn't really anticipate, but is tremendously rewarding. That's why I love, you know, doing the facilitation at Panky and doing the same thing at Spear. And I think Gary will say that probably the visiting faculty at Spear that came from Panky had much better facilitation skills than people who weren't there because they had developed those things at Panky. And I love that. So that's my jam, is to help facilitate growth and to facilitate a process with people. Yeah. Now we get to do it on an ongoing basis. And that was the premise of Global Diagnosis to begin with, to take that passionate professional and give them an opportunity to develop over the course of time with contact with mentors that could help them in their journey. And it's just worked spectacularly well. It has been. It's been a wonderful experience, and I continue to see great things ahead. And now with Gary here, goodness gracious, there's no telling what we could do because he's one of the best facilitators I've ever known. I just try to copy him. I just, okay, what's he doing? You know, how's he telling these stories and getting so much reaction? Maybe I could do that. I got a story. My story is a little bit more bizarre, maybe, but I've got a story.
Yeah, I want to go into that.
The cool thing is that this growth has been totally organic.
Yeah.
Because Jim and I had a really good, strong friendship, and we knew that our practices in some ways were similar. But I didn't realize, I don't know if he did, but I didn't realize when we came together what a synergy it would be. Because what I brought to the mix was an understanding of interdisciplinary dentistry and how to communicate with the specialist and how to work through, how to break down a complicated case in a way that anybody can do it. In other words, you don't have to be some hotshot. If you have a system, you can do it. And that was what I brought, was the systematic approach to looking at interdisciplinary dentistry. But my skill set wasn't strong in the area of occlusion function. And he had done lots of interdisciplinary dentistry in his practice, but his focus was sort of coordinating the functional joint part of it, which I didn't bring. So that just happened organically. And then I've got very little expertise in your areas, which is the practice management area. That wasn't my strength either. And Jim had strengths in that area, but then Gary comes along and Gary fixes teeth and Gary understands interdisciplinary dentistry, but he's also got this amazing background in the behavioral and the practice management side. And so, I mean, it's like these three different people have come together with different skill sets. And I think it's magic. From my point of view, what's occurred is magic, that all these areas of dentistry now are under one big tent.
Mm-hmm. I agree. It's magic. I want to ask this. So the magic coming together. Now I want to ask you, Gary, because you came into this rich experience and I feel like you're the journeyman, the ultimate journeyman in dentistry. You're the ultimate education expert. I think I visited you at every format you've ever been in. I feel like if I was walking into a conference, Gary would be speaking in the room next to me. I mean, and you're right. Like Gary, you bring a lot of different experience. How is it different now when you see Global Diagnosis compared to your previous experiences?
So I think it's been my experience that the number one struggle that people have from any of these places is taking it home and doing it. And there has been a search by all of these organizations, every teaching sort of institute or group that gets together, to try and do something to help people find a way to make that happen. And one of the things that I noticed early on, and I just wrote about this, and it kind of crystallized for me in what I said to myself as I was sitting here thinking about it, that, you know, global diagnosis is not about doing anything. It's about being. And the purpose of all of these teaching institutions is actually that. And so the way that it crystallized for me was when somebody said to me something about, you know, I'm fortunate I'm back teaching at the Pankey Institute. My practice partner is the executive, you know, the CEO and the director of education. And she said, so will you do this? So she asked me to go back. So I'm going to get to teach some stuff again there, which is really exciting to me. It's fun to be back in the key. But we were talking about it, and somebody said something about, well, you're back at Pankey. I've already done Pankey. And I said, No, Pankey is not something you do. It's not about doing. It's about being. The best gift I ever got in my life was the chance to become a teaching assistant and get to sit through, and then as a visiting faculty member, get to sit through for 10 years every time there was a C2 and Parker Mahan came. Now, I didn't go every time, but he was there like four times a year, and I usually went to two or three of them, because I was the person who went along to help with those. And I remember at the end of that, when he retired, I said, it's been so wonderful to be here with you and get to hear all that as it changed throughout the years. And he started laughing. And he said, 10 years? He said, I haven't changed that program for 30 years. And then he finished the sentence, because this already came up earlier. You were different every time you showed up. That's what he said to me. That's why it was different. And I remember thinking about that and saying, when this person said that to me, I've already done it. I said, no, you haven't. No, it's not. That's not about that. It's not about doing. It's about being. The thing I love about what these two guys put together is that is totally what it's about. It's about being. And they said it a different way. They said, we're looking for people who have kind of done these things. That's who we want to join us, because none of the places have been able to create something that creates that same sort of an ongoing connection in a way that you can continue doing, which, by the way, is kind of the perfect thing to do in something like this, because you can have a national study club and get together more than once a year, right? You can, right. You have an opportunity for that. So what we're looking for is people who recognize that Pankey or Spear or Coyce, Dawson, I'm not so sure, because they've taken a little bit of a different direction. Spear, I'm not so definitely sure, because they've taken a little different. It's not about checking something off. It's about being, not about doing. And the people who show up all the time are those people who already understand that. I don't care if I heard that already. You know, I have now heard Bill's stop doing lateral incisor implants program three times in three different ways. But I mean, it's always the same stuff.
Only three?
I'm not, amen. I am not done hearing that yet, because there is so much stuff in there that I have not heard yet. Right. And that's who we're looking for. And the cool thing is, it's something I love to say when I would talk to people about who's your ideal new patient. And they would say, I don't know. I'll see anybody. And I say, too bad, because if you don't know who you're looking for, everybody shows up. As soon as you know who you're looking for, guess who shows up? Is that not true?
Yep.
Those are the people who show up. And it's because you do things without even know you're doing them that make those people want to find you.
Yeah, the secrets. Yeah.
It's exciting to me, the potential to take what has been an issue for all of these high quality places over all the years, great places to go and learn, is to take people beyond an understanding of, you don't just do this. It's not like a notch on your belt. You know, unfortunately, your belt is limitless size. Believe me, there's no end to the buckle. It goes on forever.
It does.
That's the thing.
It does. So last night I had the good fortune of being on one of your virtual engagement things. And I'm going to shout you guys out, because I think what you've done is remarkable. You are great clinical minds, great teachers, And what's different about Global Diagnosis is you put people to work. I love this because you could just bestow your wisdom with all of the wonderful cases that you've succeeded and failed with. But like right away, you're like, no, they're going to come. They're going to show up. We're going to put them to work. We're going to get them to think. We're going to help them through these cases. Can you talk about the philosophy behind that? Because I think it's super cool.
Well, the learning is in the doing. In the doing and in the observing and in the understanding. And so what we have tried to create is a safe space where we talk about our failures, our shortcomings that, we've had. And I could just spend a whole year doing that for me, but we don't have that much time. But we try to share it, be open and create this safe space so that people feel, you know, that we have vulnerability as well. And give them an opportunity to talk about the challenges that they face. Try to give them this format, this wonderful format of the Global Diagnosis Protocol so that they can simplify the complex in different phases and then be able to present that in front of the group. And it's still very intimidating for people to come on, even on online the presentation to present, but they're starting to get over it. We're starting to encourage the, you know, most of them. Some of them don't. Some of them just send us things, and sometimes we'll present what they're sending to us. But the idea is to get engaged, to learn to do certain things diagnostically that are just going to be essential if you're going to be successful in the interdisciplinary space. And that's what's really been you know, fun, is to see people who are really tentative and scared to death about doing something, feel that confidence to come in front of the group and say, you know, here's my stuff. We're very non-judgmental about it. That, you know, we try to encourage growth wherever you are, meet them where they are, and help them to succeed. And that we've got two sessions coming up next month, and one of them is members' presentations, and the other one is the mentors' presentations. Those people who we've identified as higher level achievers who have become more mentors to the rest of the group.
Yeah. And how much joy do you get from watching them grow?
Oh gosh, it's immeasurable. It's immeasurable. I you know, we had one of them, one of our members presented at the Restorative Academy last year. And, you know, I have to handle the photography. So I get to talk with them a little bit before they go on stage. And when they came off, I was a weeping mess after she finished. I was just uncontrollably sobbing. I was so proud. You know, it's just like a proud father seeing it, you know, your children succeed at such a high level. And it's amazing. And smaller, you know, smaller successes than that too. It's emotionally just so gratifying just to get the notes from them. Thank you for helping me with this. It really changed the practice. I mean, they're frequent enough that it just keeps your engine charged and keeps you going.
Bill, your thoughts.
I think the power of, I think one of the powers of what we have done is that we've given them a common language that we all communicate with now. So there are four global diagnoses that dictate interdisciplinary dentistry. There's four. And once you understand those four, there's only a limited number of treatment options for each of those four diagnoses. They understand that. That's what I brought. Then Jim brought, initially, he brought a global understanding of the occlusion part of that. But then with his brilliance, I hate to say it in front of him, but with his brilliant mind, he was able to create a similar system for treating the joint part of this problem. So we started out with the Piper classification. That was a common language that we could all use and learn to go along with the global diagnosis part. And now he's created, in the global diagnosis side of it, we have five questions that we ask to make a global diagnosis on a patient. That's all you have to do, is ask and answer five questions to make this interdisciplinary diagnosis. He did the same thing with the joint side. And so now we've got five questions related to the face and the mouth. We've got five questions related to the mouth and the teeth and the occlusion. And so what we've done is we've created a common language that's understandable, that these general dentists primarily can now use to communicate with their specialists. So now they can finally understand it in their own minds. And once you understand it, then you can move on to communicating with the patient. So I think the common language that we've provided is the real power of the system that we've seen grow this group of people that are committed to it over the last 4 years.
I love it. I love it. Now, I want to ask each one of you, when I look at the three of you, I think there's like, I don't even know that dentistry would come to my mind. I think about crucial points in my life where I've reached out to all three of you and you've helped me up this hill, you know, whatever it was. And I want to throw a word into the conversation. It's called mentor. You know, back in the day, now I've been doing this for almost 3 decades. Bill, you 5 decades. Tell me how the word mentor has changed. Because back in the day, you were assigned a mentor found you. People would say, I'm going to mentor you. And now I talk to a lot of young dentists and they're like, how do I find a mentor? And my words are, you don't find one, you go get one. Would you guys agree with that? And how has that changed in your careers?
You know, a couple of ideas about mentors. One is I totally agree with what you said. And I believe the biggest bang for your buck is study club. And essentially what we created was an online study club, but there's also a tremendous amount of power in belonging to a local study club in your community. That's where the mentors are. They are in the study clubs. And almost universally, older dentists are thrilled to help younger dentists if the younger dentist is committed. I mean, if they're willing to mount a case on an articulator and send a relation and bring it instead of having two old casts that they're holding in their hand and showing to you, if they're willing to do what the older mentor is asking them to do, the world is full of people, older dentists that want to help. But the other thing that's changed in my view of mentorship is the word old. And Jim and I have been talking about this quite a bit over the last year or two. There are now some mentors that we consider, both of us to consider to be our mentors, and they're anywhere from 3 to 4 decades younger than we are. Yeah. So the old idea that the mentor has to have gray hair and has to have a bunch of years under their belt is no longer true, because there are younger dentists now that have skill sets and knowledge bases that are so much different than what the three of us bring. And so now I'm not looking up so much for a mentor anymore. I'm looking down in terms of the age part of it. My mentors that I consider to be important to me right now are almost all younger dentists, not older dentists.
I love it. Gary, you go. Amen. How's mentorship?
I totally, totally and completely agree with that. That the whole notion of it kind of flipped around for me when I started. I thought of it just as Bill did. I'm looking for someone who's out there doing the kind of dentistry I would like to do. And fortunately, I met somebody like that right out of dental school. And it was highly impactful on me. But today, yeah, the people I think about when I pick some mentors is a guy from Waxahachie, Texas, who is absolutely a mentor of mine. Because I just listen to the stuff he says and I go, holy crap, how did you even think of that? I mean, it's just amazing to me. And so in that regard, for me, because I defined it, you know who a mentor is? A mentor is anybody who is doing something or on a path that you would like to be on. That's who can be a mentor. And I differentiated two things. Consultants are people who tell you what to do. Coaches are people who ask you questions and you figure it out yourself without you even knowing you're doing that. And the best consultants in the world are the people who see their job is to become a coach. Because I don't need to tell you. You'll like it way better if you figure it out. But I can't say that at first. And a mentor is just somebody who has been on the path. Because you can have consultants and coaches that are not dentists. Absolutely. One of my favorite lines, and I know I've said this one to you, Kirk, but I don't know if I've told these guys this. I once got to work with a dentist in his practice, and his wife was a 3-time Olympian in cross-country skiing for the U.S. And we were talking about coaching, and she made a statement to me that I never forgot. I said, who's your favorite coach ever? And she told me a name. And I said, well, I'm not an expert in cross-country skiing, but what? She said, oh, he doesn't even ski. Now, I'll never forget, she looked me in the eye and she said, well, you know, coaching is not about the skiing, Gary. Because coaching is about me understanding that you already have the answers. I used to help you find them.
Right.
Right. And so when I think of that, the only difference, I could have a coach who is a mentor also because they're a dentist. And that's the path I'm on. But I may have coaches who are not have nothing to do with dentistry by far. And that's kind of the fun part for me is coming to that differentiator and recognizing, as Bill said, that, yeah, today most of my mentors are way younger than me.
Jim, how's mentorship changed in your career?
Well, as you know, I could reflect on, obviously reflect on both of what Gary and Bill said. And it was fun coming to that realization with Bill and I not long ago. And so when we got the chance to speak at AES this year, he and I opened the program and we paid homage to our mentors. And we had a lot of those young faces on that screen. And they were quite stunned by it and quite moved by it. But they are the people that we look up to now and learn from. And I think at the heart of it all, a mentor is differentiated by two things. I think that they have a desire to give, and the mentee or the student has a desire to learn and to give also. There has to be a give. And there has to be a real certain love between the two people. That there's just really a deep-seated, heartfelt connection between the people, between both parties, to be better and to help each other become what they can be. And it's again about being and becoming, not about just showing you how to do stuff.
Yeah. Yep. I want to go back to the relationship side of things. I mean, it's so powerful. And now with education changing, I'm going to weave a big question on you guys. I'm going to be the 32-year-old dentist listening, going, you know, I'm stressed. I got these kids. I got to pick a path. I'd like to learn. There's a lot of courses I can take online. There's more choices now than ever. Wouldn't you agree? Oh, on God. Education?
Yes.
You know, and there was a recent study published that said the average United States adult only has one real friend, like one, which is sad. And so when you look at, you know, Bill, I look at you and I'm thinking he's got like thousands of friends. You know, talk about the truth and the reality of your career development as a human being, a professional, and how important these relationships are and how that intertwines with the future of education. I mean, what would you say to a 32-year-old kid listening right now going, this is lonely being an entrepreneur. It's lonely being a dentist. I don't know what to do. I don't have a lot of friends. What would you say to him?
Well, I commiserate with him first and say, I totally understand where you're coming from. And even though it seems like you just said I have thousands of friends, I mean, I have my days of loneliness also. So I know what it feels like to feel like you're isolated in a dental practice. I totally understand that. The first question I ask a young dentist is, what's your budget? Because depending on what your budget is for continuing education, I can help direct you. So if you've got, you know, if you've only got at this point $500 for continuing education or for a year, then about all you can afford to do is to go to the state dental meeting. And at the state dental meeting, you'll hopefully see somebody that will give you a vision of possibilities. You can't learn anything in a state dental meeting that's going to change their life. It's not a long-term relationship. The next step up for me is a study club. I believe that belonging to a study club is absolutely the most powerful way to grow in dentistry. And it can be a virtual study club. It can be a study club in your city. But for the money, and generally we're talking about $2,000. For $2,000, you ought to be able to join a study club. And that's where you start to grow. And hopefully that's where you find a mentor. If your budget is $5,000, then we start talking about spear and coys. So I think that is, and I think you ultimately need to do those types of larger, more expensive places. I think those are incredibly important, but that comes a little farther down the road for most dentists because they don't have financial ability commonly. And you're in trouble. The time that you need the help the most is when you're struggling the most. And that's the problem. You know, you have no money, you have no cash flow, and you're ill-equipped to pay to go do these things, but you can't afford not to, because if you don't, you're going to drown. And so I think that's sort of my play on this thing. And that is, you have to start with where your budget is when you're deciding what you're going to do. in terms of trying to grow and become more than what you are right now.
Yeah. Let me add one more layer, and I want to hear from both. My favorite stuff, though, I'll never forget when I went to Panky. It was not a good time in my life. I had no money. Irwin Becker was my instructor, C1, and Clayton Davis. Now, Clayton and I are dear friends now, but he was not very nice to me when I walked in. And immediately what happened at the condos was it transformed from education to connection. I mean, I heard things in the condos. I'm like, you said that? Said it right. It was frightening. And instantly I felt closer to the human beings behind the education. I think the unintended circumstances, you really get to know people. Don't you agree? When you go to these courses, going to ponying up $5,000-$6,000, you're going to learn a lot, but what you're really going to do is give yourself permission to be with a group of people without any static to go, I'm here for one purpose, to learn. Yeah. So I want to kind of throw that in, and those relationships stick forever. I mean, Bill, the time that Roy sent you to Panky, you probably couldn't speak about anything you learned, but you could tell the people you met.
Sure. The relationship part of it is the key. There's no question about it. And that's the benefit of doing something more than a one-off, like a dental meeting. There is no relationship occurring at a dental meeting, but the longer, you know, the events are, like a year of a study club or a week at Panky. Yeah, absolutely. Those relationships. Yeah. I mean, Roy Cowan, I'm assuming Roy has probably been dead for quite a long time because he was an older guy even back then. I still think of him. I think back on him and the impact he had on my career. And yet, in some ways, it was peripheral. We were on this board together, and yet he had a giant impact on me because he cared. He really cared about me as an individual, for sure.
Yeah. And I want to hear from both. Jim, speak to the 32-year-old dentist listening who's like, this is a kind of a lonely path.
Well, I think that you have to have some vision of your future, even if it's just, I don't want to do this this way anymore. I need something different. And you have to be able to identify with people or process or places that can help you achieve that vision. And it's hard for, I think, me to relate to that person now because I didn't have one of these when I was 32 years old, distracting me constantly, you know, throughout the day and throughout my entire life. And I think they've become, you know, while they've become a very interesting source of information, and we're using, you know, the internet to teach, they also are an incredible source of distraction. And you've got to be able to focus, and you've got to get out of your comfort zone and say, I need to go seek out people that can help me. I sought out Pete Dawson when I first heard him speak. It was just, I heard him speak for like a 3-hour lecture. And all of a sudden my brain lit up and I said, wow, I can think again as a dentist. I don't have to just sit there like a circus monkey, you know, cutting teeth all day, just grinding away enamel. I can think about why I'm doing something and how the effect is on the system and how that affects somebody's oral health. There are people out there that are willing to share, but you have to go find them and you have to put yourself in those circumstances. I mean, Gary, you talked about it earlier. You were with Parker and with Parker May and some of these wonderful, you know, people we had early in our careers. We went out and sought them. They didn't come to my office just because of who I was or that, you know, they'll show up someday. You got to go look for them. So you got to get yourself out there. And I think it's harder because we get too caught up, you know, with a lot of the distractions in our practice, thinking that, you know, with a lot of messages that aren't helpful. And you've got to just really reach out and try to find some help and look for it and really go put yourself in that position. Friend of mine said it this way. He goes, you know, I was dealt a pretty good deck of cards in my life, but by God, I played the hand every time I was dealt it. And you've got
it. Yeah.
Love it. So Gary, your answer to the 32-year-old dentist listening.
The first thing that came to mind for me was, and it was highlighted by Jim Shaw on the phone, is I can't imagine if I had to spend every day of my life being inundated with stuff telling me I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
Because what you want, what I mean, I can't imagine if every day when I'm done, I'm looking on Instagram or whatever, and you see all this stuff and you go, good Lord, I can't do that. That kind of stuff. I can't imagine that. I never got that kind of feedback. So for me, because I do get asked this question not infrequently in my last two roles in teaching, would be, you know, so what do I do? And I said, the first thing I would just offer you if you're asking for advice. So since you asked, I have to start with a question. Have you already made the decision that you want things to be different for you? And let them claim it verbally for themselves so they can hear themselves say it. And then say, then I'm going to ask you to give yourself a gift. It's the gift of time. You have all the time you need to make it happen. Because the mistake I made early in my quest for that was to believe that I had to get done. And the thing I discovered in the course of my life is that, no, you never get done. That's not what it's about. So if you could give yourself the gift of time, why don't we see what the first step could be? And I'm happy to explore that with you. And then I'd go to the things like Bill said, you got to say, what can you do? Because it's got to be something they can commit to. And I think that was the point of what Bill was saying. You got to be able to commit to it comfortably. You got to be able to do that. If you can't, you're not going to get what you should. But almost always what I discover is when people put themselves and they stretch themselves is they're trying to get it done. And you have all the time you need. And then I usually would end this with a gift that Flynn Harris gave me when I finished C1. Flynn Harris saw me after C1, and I remember that was my first ever experience coming really face to face with what I did not know. And I felt totally incompetent. And I had a later flight, and he looked at me and he said, what's the matter with you? And I said, I feel qualified to do class 5 composites on selected patients. And he said, stop. I'm not going to let you do that to yourself. And he asked me this question. I've asked this to really so many people since. In the years that you've been involved in dentistry, even though there are not a whole lot of them, have you ever done anything with that patient that wasn't the best thing you knew to do right then? And I said, I've always done that. And he said, you tell me what more than that any human being can expect of you. Now, here's something I'm going to tell you. If you're committed to doing things differently because of what you came face to face with, just recognize you're going to be better every day. That's what you're signing up for. Just make sure that at the end of the day, you can say that was the best thing I knew how to do for that patient in this situation at this time. And if you can answer that at the end of the day with a yep, then it was a good day. And by the way, and you'll get there eventually.
Yeah. So well said, buddy. Now, I know I can't keep you guys forever, but I want you to talk about Global Diagnosis, what it is. I'm obviously a huge fan. I want you to talk about Symposium too, but before we do that, let's wrap a bow on this. When you think of long-term value in relationships, give us a final thought. Bill, you go first.
You know, as I think back on my career, obviously, we all stand on the shoulders of giants. I mean, that's been said so many times, it's cliche. So many people have had an impact on me. So I think about me and my career, and I think of two sort of ideas. The first one is Gary Player was given credit for saying this, but I assume somebody has said it many times before him. Gary Player, the famous golfer, he said, the harder I work, the luckier I get. And so part of the issue is the commitment to work. And I never have been the smartest guy in the room ever. From the time I was in dental school until right now, I'm not the smartest guy in this room that's talking, but I'm as hard a worker as anybody in this room. So the first piece of advice is if you want to succeed, it's hard work, period. There's going to be a lot of work and time involved in it. But the other side of that coin in my life has been a term that's used in most spiritual traditions, and that's grace. And grace to me means something that's given to you that you didn't really earn. So on the one hand, my advice is to really work hard, because that's an important part of getting to excellence, if that's what your goal is. And the other part of it is be willing to accept the graceful part of it. And that is, things are going to be given to you along the way that you didn't necessarily deserve, but you got anyway, because of grace. It's God's grace to give it to you. And so accept it. So it's the two sides of the coin in my life have been the grace component and the hard work component. And I would invite younger dentists to explore both of those in their lives.
So well said. Jim, give us some final thoughts on the long-term value of great relationships.
Well, you know, like a lot like what Bill said, I think you reflect back on these long-term relationships and the amount, the level of unspeakable trust, almost, you know, incredible trust that is garnered through those relationships. People that you know that whatever you come across, you can collaborate with them, ask them for advice, know that they've got your back. But it also goes back to what a lot of Bill's saying too. There are three things that, you know, determine a lot of success, and one of them, you know, it's work, some talent, and luck. And really, talent is about the least of those things. Nothing happens without hard work. Nothing happens without chopping wood and carrying water. And that's just the hard reality that a lot of folks have to remember. But when you do that, I mean, you can see tangible results. And there is a certain amount of grace that comes along with us. And I think saying a prayer of gratitude and gratitude for the people in your life especially is really what makes life worthwhile.
Love it. Love it. Gary, your thoughts, long-term value of great relationships.
You know, in the end, that's all that you get. That's what's left. All this stuff that happens, at some point, all the stuff ends, those don't. I mean, that's kind of the thing that has been really valuable for me, is recognizing that all the stuff you think you're doing that is great stuff, and by the way, it is. You don't ever recognize that. What you really were doing was creating relationships from that. As I said, you know, I'll go back quickly to the best day of my life thing. I got to tell you that shortly after that all hit the fan, I felt like somebody who got to go to their own funeral. And I remember listening to all this stuff, and it wasn't even being said to me. Stuff was being said about me by people. And I remember as I'm reading this one, and I said, well, I don't know who this guy is, but I'd like to meet him. Yeah. And I realized the thing that is left at the end of everything else that there is that. That's what's left.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember this, Bill, you might remember this, but Gary was one of the first guests we got on the COVID conference. And I was in a full out panic. I'm sweating, you know, I'm thinking this thing's going to last 2 weeks. I don't know. And Gary says, I think it was day one or day two, hey guys, it's only money. Like, you're still here. You're breathing. Like, I'm like, easy for you to say. And then I thought about it. Like, Gary has been, I mean, I love the wisdom. I hope if you're listening, like, there's so much power. I mean, you can learn things, you can try them, you can fail at them. And at the end of the day, when you put it all together, it's called wisdom. Mm-hmm. And you'll glean so much wisdom from these incredible human beings. I want somebody, now if I'm listening to this podcast and I want to learn more about global diagnosis and be part of this, where do I start? What can I expect? What do you guys do? How does it work? Who wants to describe it?
You can do it, Jim.
Yep, Jim.
So Global Diagnosis is a platform, mostly an online platform, with a symposium we have in person one time per year. And on that platform, we meet twice a month. We are alternating some in evenings and some on Friday mornings for convenience. And through that platform, we have a combination of things. We have guest speakers, like you were last night for us, Kirk. Thank you. We have other experts in different parts of dentistry come on and talk to us about different topics. We present things ourselves in terms of the global diagnosis protocols that we've developed. and our instructional in that. And then our community presents their work as well, as we spoke about before. And again, it is meant to be something that people can become engaged with and can and have a continuum of learning, but a continuum of support and a continuum of mentorship. And that's probably the most critical piece of it. They can go to globaldiagnoseseducation.org and our website there. They could, write to me at jottanDDS@gmail.com if they'd like. They can write to globaldiagnosisinfo@gmail.com, and we'd be happy to personally answer any questions, offer them any kind of guidance they'd like, invite them into the community if they prefer.
Yeah. And I'm going to say, you guys just do it. So if you're not taking notes, this is how the podcast works. Just flip up to the notes and Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify. You're going to see links to Jim's email, links to what he just mentioned as far as the website, Global Dining. Just do it. You'll be so glad you did. And I want you to, I want somebody to talk about Symposium. I'm a big fan of Symposium. Actually, the best Bill Robbins lecture I've ever heard in my life. And I've heard many of them. Was it Symposium? And I think that's like exclusive, like what's like an album that a band does, and it's like the secret release. Like that was so good. But if I was going to go to the Symposium, what is the Symposium? Where is it? What can I expect? Maybe Bill, you describe Symposium.
Yeah. So Symposium is the best weekend of the year. That's just what it comes down to. It's, September 6th and 7th this year, right, Jim? That's a Friday, Saturday.
Yep.
And it will be at ACT headquarters in Milwaukee. So Kirk invites us in as a family member to come and share his beautiful facility with us. And this will be our third symposium. And hopefully we fill it up with our members. If we have spaces towards the end, we can invite people to come that aren't members. Jim sort of said this last night very well, and that is we're all really interested in fixing teeth and helping people with their smiles and their lives. And we do a lot of that on the Global Diagnosis platform. We talk a lot about dentistry. We talk a lot about teeth and gums and joints for sure. But our emphasis at Symposium traditionally has been, it will continue this year, is to talk about the behavioral side of dentistry and taking care of ourselves, our patients, and our dental families. And last year we had Josh Austin, who is an amazing speaker, talking about his journey, mental health journey, for half a day. And then in the afternoon, he talked about how he uses an intraoral scanner in his new patient experience. And so he blended the mental health with a practical aspect of his practice. This coming year, using a similar theme, and the other really hot shot in dentistry today that talks about mental health is Kyle Stanley, a name that's known to many people because he's a fairly well-known young general dentist, restorative dentist in Beverly Hills. And he speaks about his journey in mental health, and we're really looking forward to that. And he's also going to spend some time talking about artificial intelligence in dentistry. We're also going to have one of our members, Rachel Brony, is going to talk about her journey. And we're hoping to have a wellness component that will involve some mindfulness and perhaps even some yoga. And so that will be the program. But the real strength or power of Symposium is the fact that we're together again. We're back to the same word, relationship. It's the one time in the year when most of us have the opportunity to get together and look each other in the eye and hug each other and have these moments that you don't get over your computer or the internet. It's the live component touching each other's lives that is so important. So that's what Symposium is. It's a family reunion, essentially. And if we don't fill up, then we invite distant relatives to come and be a part of the family reunion also. So it's on September 6th and 7th of this year. The brochure is almost completed because we're just finishing up the lineup of speakers. And so Jim said he'll have this done within the next 7 to 10 days. And then the opportunity to sign up will be there. And we would just love We would love for you, first of all, to join Global Diagnosis Education, become a member of our family, and secondly, to come and be a participant in symposium.
Yeah. And I'm going to say, just do it. If you're thinking about it, just go and do it. You'll be so glad you did. You're going to be surrounded by some incredible people who are heavily invested in making sure that you grow and go in the right direction. Gentlemen, thank you so much. I know we went way over, but I'm so grateful for all three of you. Thank you for who you are and the meaning that it brings to my life. Thank you guys
thank
for
you,
being
Kurt.
On.
Thanks for having
us. Thanks for having us. It was indeed a pleasure. It always is to be with you, Kurt.
Oh my gosh. Pleasure's all mine. I learned so much. I feel like a better human being every time I chat with you guys. So stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys for listening to the Best Practices Show. Hey, if you enjoyed today, do us a favor, hit the share button. Please check out Global Diagnosis. I know you'll love it. And show up at Symposium. I promise you, you'll love it. So until we see you guys next time, or you hear from us next time, keep watching or keep listening to the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy your day. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Hey, and thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.